Okay, good morning. Today's class is in the success of, first of all, the success of Eretz Yisrael, that thank God Hashem created a miracle, that none of those rockets hit us, and also for the safety of Eretz Yisrael, for the soldiers, and for Am Yisrael. Also, this class is sponsored by Yaakov Nektalov, and also the refuah of the healing of Heleni Orna Bat Chen Chana. And also success in Yar Shemayim of Elisheva Manabah, Gadiel Elisheva, Eben Elisheva, Shefa Elisheva, Reda Basha, and Gadiel Elisheva. So obviously we're a week away from Passover, and we're going to talk about, this is a great, great Torah, lesson one, in the Likutei Moharan, the second half of the Likutei Moharan. So Reb Nachman, first of all, today's the Midah of what we have to work on. Today we have to work on is Elul. Okay, so Elul, the whole concept of Elul itself represents accounting, doing appropriate accounting. And the most and the greatest accounting that we could do is constant cleansing the heart of the impure blood. And there's two ways to do that. One way is every single time that you reach a new level of knowledge, Reb Nachman says you have to do teshuva for how you were thinking before, right? So as we grow, and that means you can never say when people say I'm this, that's already off. You understand? Imagine somebody saying, I'm a champion. No. You're always yearning. We should always, all of us should always say we're Baal Tshuvas. What does a Baal Tshuva mean? Because the minute you get to a higher level of consciousness, you come to such a level of awareness that you recognize, oh my God, what was I thinking before? So the fact that you said you already made it on top is already a bad sign, because that means arrogance came in. Where the opposite is I'm always a Baal Tshuva. Baal Tshuva means because every single time I know, I get to higher levels of knowledge, I have to do completely repentance for the previous level of knowledge that I had. So it's an awareness thing. I mean, to the extent that the greater we have awareness, the more embarrassed we are for how we acted when we lacked awareness. And then that cycle keeps on going on. And what that does is when you're embarrassed, all your sins are forgiven. All your sins are forgiven. So embarrassment is much better than guilt and shame. Guilt and shame has no room really for us, because it could put you, especially in this generation, it could put you in a very, very bad state, and it could lead you to depression and low self-esteem. And that's the worst thing that God wants out of us, is depression and low self-esteem. He wants us to constantly get back up, and He wants us to acknowledge and constantly grow. And that's extremely important. So Reb Nachman says that's really, really what Elul is about, is the embarrassment of what were you thinking of before. So saying that means, like we said many times, teshuva is really a recalibration of consciousness. It's not the old me would not think like this. The new me would not think like this. So that is really what we have to work on. Being embarrassed, but for the sake of growth, and not being shameful and guilt for the sake of I did something wrong, I'm no good, and punish yourself. Don't do that. That's real teshuvah. That's why when the attitude changes and you come back with love, even the sins get turned for your favor. I mean, which is unheard of, that a person's sins become his favor. It's because at that moment, that those areas that you unfortunately disconnected. So Reb Nachman says here that our job is to be, you know, Yerushalayim. When we say Yerushalayim in our hearts, our job is really, really connecting again to Elul. He's talking about that the original goal for us is to be higher than the angels. That is your potential. Our potential is to a point where, in the world, they're going to ask the angels what are the tzaddikim saying? That means that a tzaddik, believe it or not, can break a decree. God gave power to tzaddikim to change decrees. That means it's an incredible concept. That means we can get to a point that's higher than the angels. So what happens is the angels are very jealous of us, and they always want to bring us down. And that's the job of the negative angels, is to always bring you down, because you can get to a higher place than an actual angel can get you to. This is exactly what Reb Nachman says in the first thing, that we are created. The goal is that we are created higher than the angels. But obviously, in order to have that, you have to have this concept of Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim represents here Yerushalem. Your heart has to be Shalem. Yerushalayim means the heart. The heart, right? Yerushalem, right? The heart. Your fear has to be whole. And then Rav Nachman tells us there's three things that unfortunately prevent us from having that heart in the right place. And these are all rooted in things that we deal with every single day. One of them is wealth. Wealth is rooted in the heart. God blesses and enriches, and there should be no sadness to it. And the verse says, and it saddened him in his heart. So we know that money can put major sadness to people, clearly, and that can affect your heart. The same thing is food. Food can also lead to, God forbid, to depression. We know today that obesity, the improper foods can lead the person to depression. And the food is a concept of the bread sustains the heart of man. And sexual desires too, that is the three. So basically, wealth, food, and sex are the constant things that you are dealing with every day. And that can actually bring, if we have an inappropriate relationship with these three things, this brings, unfortunately, sadness and disconnection. That's the thing. And it's funny because these three things have potential for amazing things. Wealth has potential for, you can change the world with wealth. You can help so many people. You could build these institutions. Food also. Food can elevate you if you're, you know, at the time of eating, you could become very spiritual and lift up sparks. And sexual, obviously, you could have children and you could procreate. So these three things have the potential for tremendous light, but unfortunately these three things have potential for tremendous darkness. And this is where Rav Nachman brings the Gemara Brachot 3a, there's a concept of a night. There's a night. The Gemara Brachot says, the night consists of three watches, and each watch the Holy One Blessed Be sits and roars like a lion, and God roars on high. And the sign of each one is the first watch is the donkey brays. The donkey brays refers to Yisachar. That refers to a person's money. Donkey refers to money. Money. Why? Because Yisachar was rich with possessions. Right? The second one refers to as the dog's bark. Right? The dog barks represents a dog barking. He's never satisfied for food. He's always hungry. There's no satisfaction. And the third one is the mother's breast and a woman converses to her husband. That refers to his relations. So what is it? So basically the purpose of that Gemara is to tell you, how do you know what part of the night that you're in? So you know whether the dog is barking or there's a conversation. That represents a night. And how do we know what part of the night? Because the night can have three, four parts. That represents that. So Rav Nachman tells us, believe it or not, that there's actually, through the holidays, we actually have, each holiday actually has a download of energy that it can help you specifically for that specific holiday. I mean, each holiday has that energy that specific help you. Why? Because he says, consciousness, you have three parts of your brain. You have Chachma, Bina, and Dat, which, right? It's three parts of the brain. Represents the three festivals. So this is a very spiritual concept. And each festival gives you a renewed mentality. So what does a renewed mentality mean? It gives you, Rav Nachman says, a new renewed mentality. It gives you a new attitude. It gives you a new insight, a new perspective, on how to deal with that specific issue that's affecting your life. And again, we all know that the more you want something, the more it runs away from you. So all these three things, it's like chasing a hungry ghost at the end of the day. These three things, there is no satisfaction the more you have it, clearly. It's the opposite, because now you created such a desire for it, the desire creates creates more and more emptiness, etc. I mean, this is why we love Vegas. You know, Vegas is the sin city. It has all three of them inside of them. Four, and each festival gives us a new mentality. Because this, and every festival has this new makifim, etc. For example, on Passover, what happened? The craving for wealth is rectified. God granted the people favor in the eyes of the Egyptian that basically they left Egypt completely wealthy, and they didn't even ask for it. It came to them. God gave it to them. They didn't even ask for it. They didn't ask to be wealthy. They left Egypt with completely amount of wealth. So here on Passover, we can ask God to help us be more of attract wealth versus chasing wealth through joy and through higher consciousness versus through low self-esteem, and net worth becomes My net worth is my self-worth concept. So this is an area where you have to pray for on Passover, that God will give you the right relationship with money. And if you have the right relationship with money, you'll have trust. And when you have trust, you're able to be a giver. And because you're a giver and you have a good relationship with money, then money will come to you. What stops, obviously, Shefa from coming to us, obviously, is fear, is a lot of fear and a lot of jealousy, a lot of insecurities with money, a lot of bad relationships with money. That, unfortunately, causes a negative, because we're coming to money as a taker, not a giver. Like the same concept that we're talking about. So that is Passover. Passover, we can actually get that energy. On Shavuot, we also get the energy of our issues with sex, with relationships to relationships. And that is obviously why, because on Shavuot, you're actually having a union with Hashem. It's a giving of the Torah. It's like a wedding. So you're rectifying the 49 days. It's a wedding. On Sukkot is obviously the whole concept of Sukkot is to gather and eat in the Sukkah. Eat in the Sukkah. And on Sukkot, you can actually fix that relationship with food. So again, every single holiday will give you a specific relationship, etc. Because these three things are both all connected to a new mentality. You also need a new mentality. Then Reb Nachman says in the same Torah, something very, very deep. And this is exactly how, and he says in Egypt, what happens? They actually had all three sins. Why? Because the three cardinal traits, they did not want to slaughter their own cattle. What was the problem with the food? And they wanted a lot of meat, right? So at the end of the day, they had meat. They didn't want to slaughter their own meat. The desire for food being, despite being blessed, right? They were dissatisfied with the manna. And what happens? Free fish. So what happens with free? What were they asking for? Free fish. Free fish means they were having sexual relationships, which the Torah prohibits. So in Egypt, they were guilty of the three problems. When they were asking for free fish, they weren't talking about the Nile River. That's an analogy. They're talking about that they were able to have sexual relationships freely without any kind of rules, orders, etc. So you could see there was an addiction to it, and you could see Egypt itself is slavery, is being institutionalized in life and being a slave to things in life. That's what Egypt represents. It represents there's nothing but stuckness. And we know that Mitzrayim, the word Mitzrayim, you could see Yetzer, Mitzrayim. Take the word Mitzrayim. It has two mems, and it has inside of it Yetzer, evil inclination. So the first mem is an open mem. The second mem is a closed mem. So basically, the Yetzer keeps you in that constriction. The evil inclination keeps you closed-minded, right? And this is why, you know, when a person's in Tumah, they're closed-minded, they're closed. And that's why if you take, what's the segula for this? Is if you take the 240s, the mem and the mem, what happens? Where do you get the word? You get the word peh. That means if you take the 240s out of Mitzrayim, the 240s, you get the word peh. 80 is peh. Peh is mouth. So now that's where the beginning of liberation, beginning of speech comes out, beginning of I don't want this life anymore. I can do better. My life is better than this. Mitzrayim, you're just closed. You lose your voice. You're closed in. Remove the two mems and you start talking. You start talking and you start becoming free and you start expressing your freedom. That's what he's saying here. So you can see Mitzrayim itself, Egypt itself, was just a lot of gluttony, institutionalized, just serving yourselves. That's what Rabbi Nachman's saying here. So that's where we have to really, really work on, is really, really attracting things in life, etc. Now, Rabbi Nachman says here, in the same Torah, something not so related to Mitzrayim, but he tells us an incredible insight on how to get a prayer answered. What are the three conditions to getting a prayer answered? And what are the three things that stop a prayer from being answered? And he says, if you got to such a level of prayer that your prayer, you can actually cause, you could actually be fed by bread and water. That means the whole purpose is to free prayer from exile. Okay? And Rav Nachman says there's three conditions, and these three conditions are exactly very connected to the three things that a person will give his has to give his life up for. Number one, if they told you, commit adultery, it's better you should give up your life to commit idolatry. The second thing is kill somebody. You should give up your life instead of being killed. And number three, illicit relations. These three things, the Gemara says, a person should give up his life instead of doing them. So these three things also represent three blockages in prayer. First, faith. If you want, what is the recipe for prayer to go through? Is faith. And remember, faith is not just that you have to actually believe in your prayer, and you also have to believe in your significance to God in that prayer. That means it's not enough to say I'm praying, but believe that I am significant in God's eyes, that He will hear my prayer. If you don't have that faith, your prayers will not be answered because you don't believe in yourself. If you don't believe in yourself, how could God believe in you? So faith is the first thing. The second thing is you have to have Shmirat HaBrit. You have to work on Shmirat HaBrit. That is the yesod, that is the arrow. That represents what? Illicit relations. The third thing to get your prayer answered is not despising others, is bloodshed. So what does bloodshed mean? Bloodshed practically means looking down at others, always looking at the negativity in others. So what happens is if you're trying to pray and you're always looking at the negativity in others, you can't come to real higher consciousness. So these three things. So if we work on these three things, faith in our prayers, Shemirat HaBrit, and looking it down in others, you can actually get your prayers will be freed of exiles. This is why we sometimes go to a tzaddik, a righteous person, to pray, because some of these rabbis have mastered these three traits, where we have not mastered these three traits. You understand? And you could see that when you lack faith in yourself, you end up coming to jealousy, and you end up coming to depression, etc. So you could see how you eventually, unfortunately, when we're not in the right program, we end up having these three. We end up becoming these three, and that's where our prayer becomes an exile. So when our prayer becomes an exile, what happens? We have to rely on doctors. We have to rely on medicine. We have to rely on others, people. We have to rely on others. You understand? That is very sad. That is very scary today. Because when a person cannot rely on his own faith, then he's dependent on others. And once you depend on others, the Gemara says that a person who's dependent on another person for wealth, his face will be dark. He'll have darkness in his face because there's no freedom. We become stuck. So again, this lesson is very, very long. But I'm just giving you the highlights. The highlights, the beginning, obviously, is to work on Passover, just like you left Egypt with wealth. The same thing, you left Egypt with wealth, you'll get it as long as you stop thinking about it all the time. The second is how to redeem prayer from exile, and the way we redeem prayer from exile is obviously by having faith, by working on our moral... Because remember, also, when you have faith, you're giving. When you keep the bridge, you're giving. When you're looking at good points in others, you're giving them. So these three things actually make you into a giver. But when we don't have faith, it's because we gave into a rational mind. We become takers. Although the Shmirat HaBrit also is sexual morality, you become a taker. And the third thing, obviously, when you're looking down at people, it's your own ego. So these three things, unfortunately, make you into a taker, not a giver, and you can't get your prayers answered. Have a great day.